At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Come on, it's 6 o'clock. Rise and shine, rise and shine.
It's time for Early Break. Brought to you by Sand Hills Global. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's Jake Sorensen.
Did seem kind of meh.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
Surprisingly good.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
I want to buy a couple ducks.
I'm bringing two ducks to the office.
This is Early Break.
Happy Monday to you, Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hope you had a better weekend than myself watching sports.
Oh boy.
Across the landscape, NFL, college football, baseball.
Across the landscape.
Gentlemen, how are you guys this morning?
Good. Just have to tell us about your situation.
Doing great.
Well,
should we get this in text messages?
the chat was fired up this weekend for sure. It was fired up.
Yeah, mainly by you.
Mainly Jake led.
I needed some therapy. You didn't guide me through this. So Bill tried a little bit, but Sip gave me one or two responses.
I tried to get involved.
Go ahead.
24-3 today. I said 35-10 with the loss, so not far off. Putrid.
I didn't say feces this time at all because I think.
Wait a second. What are you talking about?
Okay, the Miami Dolphins.
The listeners are confused.
Yeah, we will get to plenty of Nebraska, Illinois here in a second, but please bear with us for a second because. The Miami Dolphins went up to Seattle yesterday. I predicted a 35-10 loss. It was about that, 24-3.
Yeah,
I told you guys that Skylar Thompson is not a viable NFL quarterback, and also that the GM of the Miami Dolphins should have been fired 3 years ago because he fails to assess the offensive line, fails to address it. He says we're fine. What are you talking about? Watch the O-line. They can't block a dead fish out there. All right. They could block a dead fish.
A dead dolphin.
Can I get one more text?
Please do.
I'm at the Royals game. Yep. They're down 9-0 in the sixth. I'm in sports hell. Dolphin season over. Husker football in disarray. Royals are deceased.
The Royals are deceased.
I'm in sports hell.
I'm in sports hell.
The Royals had their final three games of the regular season at home. They have six games in the row. They wrapped up their final homestand of the season.
Okay.
Started on Monday against the Tigers.
Okay.
They didn't win any of the games. They went 0-6 at home.
Oh, God.
The series I went to, the Giants, San Francisco, was already eliminated from the playoffs. They're under 500. The Royals, in three games, scored a grand total of one run. One! At home, you're a playoff team. You are a play. Right now, if the season ended with six games ago, they would still be the second wild card, and they lost seven straight games, and six of those were at home. I went to Saturday and Sunday's game. They lost 9-0. Yeah. They lost 2-0. 18 innings of baseball. I didn't see a single run scored. They got to third base one time yesterday.
You were keeping track.
They got to third base one time.
Good job, though.
Bases were loaded, I believe, in the eighth inning. Salvador Perez flew out to center field. That's it. On Saturday, they got to second base at least six times. Never got to third. Never got to third. There wasn't even a threat of a run being scored in two games of a baseball game. This wasn't a single A team playing the major. It was a team right now in the playoffs playing a team out of the playoff.
You're
they
in,
didn't
though.
Score a run.
Will you be in the playoffs?
At this point, I would be stunned.
Oh, okay. So
how many games left?
There's six games left. Six. They're all on the road.
So they're up by one run for the second playoff spot?
The Orioles have the first wild card. And the Tigers and the Royals are tied for the second one. So the Royals have a tiebreaker over KC, but okay. It is right now an even record. Tigers are the hottest team in baseball by far. By far.
So they still have a shot.
They have a shot, but what kind of shot? They've lost seven straight. They haven't scored a run since Friday.
Were there boo birds?
Yeah, by me.
Yeah. Jake booed him.
I booed.
Were there other people booing besides you?
I was surprised by the lack of boos in the crowd. I was. But I also thought it was a pretty lackluster crowd.
Boo!
I cupped it. Boo! I made it loud. Made sure people heard. This is embarrassing. It's not...
Why were people not booing?
Because it's Chiefs season. They've moved on to the NFL.
Yeah.
In KC. We got the Chiefs.
Jake
we're 3-0.
Has a good handle on it.
He does.
That's a good handle.
But I agree with him now, though, that the season is over for the Dolphins.
It is.
You're 100% with him on that.
Yes, I'm going to support them on that. I don't want to be in this dark about it, but they're done. Yeah. They're 1-2.
Done?
Be happy they got the one, Jake.
And if you recall, they should have lost that game. Remember, they were down 17-7, had a punch out at the goal line, would have made it 24-7. That killed the Jags. Dolphins came back and won. I sent you guys a screenshot. The Dolphins are the only team in the NFL, which features the Panthers, who, by the way, won yesterday.
Crushed.
The Dolphins Raiders. Are the only team in the NFL to not have a lead this season. The game won against the Jags. Was a game-winning field goal as time expired. They have not let a
really
game
surprising.
Through 3 weeks.
I'll tell you one thing, Bill. If you want, I mean, Jake, I've noticed this over the years. He does predict Dolphins games really well because he knows the franchise like probably better than their GM. Yeah.
I should be the GM. Let me be the GM of the Dolphins.
When he speaks with authority on the Dolphins.
No, I agree with him.
Yeah, he knows
we could not
on.
Push back on that. We had no knowledge of the Dolphins.
No, he does.
Or even NFL, really.
And
I don't.
Did call the Seattle game. I mean, he said it.
This will be a blowout.
Lee Sterling predicted the Dolphins to win.
Which I said on the airwaves, that's not going to happen.
Right.
I said after this, I said, guys, that will not happen. Skylar Thompson is a bum. He got hurt, by the way.
Oh,
here comes Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle. Why do we know that
Who's
name?
Tim Boyle.
There was a game last year featuring the Dolphins playing against Tim Boyle. Tim Boyle was starting for the New York Jets on Black Friday. If you recall,
Tim Boyle,
he threw a Hail Mary before a halftime. They got picked off and went 99 yards the other way for a Dolphins pick six at halftime. That was the quarterback for the Jets. So now all the Jets fans are laughing, saying, ha ha, how's it feel, Dolphins? Yeah, you laughed at us for Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle and Joe Flacco. How's it feel with Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle?
This is really rough.
Who's going to back up Boyle now?
Yeah, who's that?
Well, I would. Tyler Huntley was the guy that they got.
Okay.
Last week he was not able to play yesterday. He was emergency quarterback.
Okay.
He was in the inactives yesterday.
Okay. I thought they let him have three actives now. I thought that was the new rule.
You get two, but you can. No. The third one is emergency. He can play if he has to.
He's, gotcha.
There you go.
Can only go in the game if injuries of the other two are completely out. They can't just sub him in for a pack.
It has to be injuries related to get back in the game for him.
How about Hemi Cruz? And there's the third guy just hanging out. All of a sudden, hey, get ready. You're one play away.
That'd be amazing. Hey, now hold on. I thought what I'd heard is that the Dolphins are assessing their.
Yeah, please try to. Walk me off. Putting the You're Tua, not going to.
Well, no, I'm not going to try. Putting Tua on the IR was a way to buy time to kind of deal with their quarterback situation.
Well, what'd they do with it then? They knew that they can't win with Skylar Thompson.
Well, now what? Now what? You just keep rolling with
That's
him?
A great question, Sip. They play the Titans at home. The Titans are 0-3. The Titans beat you last year. That ruined your season and that Monday night disaster in Miami. It's going to happen again.
How can they fix it? I mean, you just keep going with Skylar Thompson.
No, the problem is that you don't have Tua. The strength of Tua, he gets the ball out really fast because the offensive line is horrible. He gets the ball out fast. Nobody gets the ball out as fast as he does because you have to. You won't survive in Miami with that offensive line. Teron Armstead is out again. He's missed half the games of his career at left tackle. They lost Robert Hunt free agency to the Panthers. He's out there wrecking guys yesterday in Carolina. While our right guard had six false starts in the game, basically.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Right tackles falling apart. Centers disappoint. It's over. The Dolphins are going to be a bottom four team in the NFL this year. Mark it down, 3-14, the record for Miami.
So Tua is worth all that money.
No, he's not.
Well, if what you're telling me is true, it is. I mean, he's worth it in the sense that their season plummeted without.
I'm telling you this: the Miami Dolphins have always been and are a house of cards. It is all falling apart.
What would they have done with Tua, in your estimation?
They had to extend him because he played well last year.
But would they have won 10 games with Tua?
They would have won 8 or 9. It'd been mediocre team. The defense is a fraud. They played okay in that game, but I don't think the Seahawks offense is that great.
Mm-hmm.
And you know,
I didn't expect this response. I didn't know to get this heated.
I didn't know that. That's interesting to me.
He takes this. He didn't feel when I walked in. It wasn't as bad as it was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. It wasn't the same. Now it's.
Didn't
bad.
You think they'd win more games than 9 or 8?
Yeah. And then I watched the first game. Said we got some big problems here. Big problems.
Anyway, so Dolphins, season over.
Yeah. I told you, Christian Wilkins, big loss. They can't stop the run that well. Defensive tackle. I said, you got to sign that guy. You need to keep him. Tag him. Gone. So, yes, RIP Miami Dolphins, RIP Roy. Just to clean this up here, the two teams I care about most besides Nebraska are the Royals and the Dolphins. Between three games, two Royals and the Dolphins on Saturday, Sunday, they combined for 3 points/runs.
Oh, boy. That is pretty rough.
That's pretty rough.
And they lost by a combined 35-3, basically.
Yeah, that's kind of rough. Yeah.
So that's my sports world. Everything's great.
Idle chit chat.
And then you got Nebraska, of course. We'll get to in a second. They really added up to the fun this weekend, didn't they? Anything else for idle chit chat for you guys at all?
No, I'm good.
All right, that's idle chit chat. Sponsored by our friends at Renew. Ooh. Call or text David at 402-833-3858 or visit renewyourauto.com. They do everything from body shop, ceramic coatings, window tinting, spray and bedliners, paintless dent repair, and more. RenewYourAuto.com. By the way, David is listening from Mexico right now. He texted in from Mexico.
That's incredible.
So let's go.
Whoa.
Let's go.
All right, speaking of let's go, let's talk about Nebraska. 464-5685. Call or text as always. Nebraska loses to Illinois 31-24 in overtime on Friday night. It was a good crowd. It was a back and forth game. It was entertaining football game. Can we say that?
It was a tremendous football game. It was a great football game. Crowd, the back and forth. Every play was hinged on. Would you agree with that? I mean, it was like one of those things where almost every play mattered. It was like, whatever. No big deal. The series didn't matter that much. No, it mattered.
Very well played.
Yeah. It was a great college football game.
And I was actually, I was tracking, hey, is the nation watching? This is a nationally televised game. Yeah. All the big celebrity, all the big media people were texting, tweeting about Raiola and Altmaier looks good. Everyone was watching this game. This is a very, very, you know, highly watched game across the nation, not just in the Big Ten, across the nation. And it was a good football game. Unfortunately, Nebraska ends up on the losing end, 31-24. And, you know, last year, Nebraska wins this game 20-7 in Champaign. And Luke Altmaier did not look very good in the game. That changed this year. Luke Altmaier came in with 6 touchdowns, 0 picks, and he looked the part. Sip, you were at the game. You were there. 21.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there. Altmaier, 21-27, 215, 4 touchdowns, no picks for Luke Altmaier.
Also, I would say that he had 3 drops that hit their receiver right in the chest. Mm-hmm. He threw really at about a 90% clip. He really did.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one thing that stood out to me was the difference between Altmaier from last year to this year. I thought that was a remarkable, different looking dude out there.
Yeah, he was good. I thought it would be a tough game, and it was. I didn't expect Illinois to average 5.5 yards on first down. 19 first down runs for the game, 5.5 yards a carry. I didn't see that coming. Even after Northern Iowa, the Northern Iowa conversation was they got shoved around a little too much. Northern Iowa went on the long drive to start the game. It wasn't just that, though. It wasn't just like, Nebraska tightened up things the rest of the game. They did in a sense that Northern Iowa only scored 3.
Yep.
But there were red flags in that game, and Rhule alluded to them in the post game. didn't tackle well against Northern Iowa, didn't tackle well tonight. 5.5 yards on first down, 19 carries. You know, that's going to be hard to win. Now, they about pulled it off. I mean, Nebraska about pulled it off, but you would have pulled that off despite allowing 5.5 yards per gain on first down. That's hard to do.
That is hard. I think the thing that also stood out to me was I felt the running backs for Illinois, which are tough.
Yeah.
And that's about where it ends, that they're tough. There's nothing.
They're not great.
There's nothing dynamic. I don't know if they was there a run. You said that was a dynamic run.
No, they're not that great.
The run in overtime that went for 19 yards.
That was a gut punch.
Was blocked for 19 yards.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, I mean, most running backs may have scored on that.
That was Caden Feegan. Yeah.
Now, give him credit.
He ran left and nobody touched him until the 5-yard line.
Yeah. And so,
unbelievable. It reminded me of the run against Iowa last year a little bit. Yeah. Like, what? You're just like, what? How does that happen on first down? Caden Feegan finished with 12 carries and 69 yards. He's just okay. Their best players on offense were Pat Bryant and Zachary Franklin. And those guys are pretty good.
They're very good receivers, yeah.
Pretty good. I mean, they're good. It's Big Ten. Yeah. I mean, they're a rated team. They're going to have some guys. I mean, and they have some guys. They're not a... I don't know. They're not a great team, but they were ready. And I think there was some revenge on their mind. They're like, you guys embarrassed us in Champaign last year, and it's not happening again. They came out of the tunnel ready for a brawl.
And then when we talked about the...
They did.
Oh, yeah. And we talked about that they were going up against a different type of staff. This was a veteran staff, head coach down through his assistant coaches. Veteran staff. They had a very crystal clear plan of what they wanted to get done. He never once looked at Illinois like, what are they doing?
No.
I thought there was only one bad play that they had the entire game, and that was on Altmaier's sack fumble. It was an RPO, and you have to throw that immediately. RPO.
He pumped.
Yeah, you have to. If it's there, it's there. If not, you got to bury the ball.
That's the one that Sierra Wright forced the fumble.
Yeah, and it was a great play by him. On the. If he doesn't do that, I mean, because the other fumble was about a 20-yard gain.
A good punch out by John Bullock in the first half of that one.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a loss, and then there's losses. It looks like you've lost Turner Corcoran, the left tackle, for an appreciable amount of time.
Have we found out what that injury is? You thought it was foot?
I think it's foot.
Yeah.
Right. Like foot, ankle.
Yeah.
And I'm not, all I'm saying, all I'm going off is rules said it was severe, looks pretty severe. And then the other one was Tommy Hill's got plantar fasciitis.
Ooh.
And that is just depends on severity, I guess, right? I mean, and how much pain tolerance you have.
Pain tolerance, and it's an injury. You can usually kind of get it going, but it's also one of those injuries where, like, initially, if you sit down for an hour and try to stand up and walk with plantar fasciitis like that, you almost crumble.
Ooh.
But usually when you get it warmed up, you can kind of get it going, but it is a tough injury. So,
yeah.
I mean, he was in street clothes the second half. No chance of coming back.
Yeah, I've heard guys that have played with it for entire seasons, and I've heard guys that are sidelined with it for entire seasons. So I just it's hard to read it. But you have Sierra Wright playing, and he played at a high level.
It's
number 15.
I thought he played tremendous.
Yeah,
I didn't even see a drop off.
I don't think there was
anything in the game where you said, "Well, the reason we're struggling here is because we've lost our starting corner."
No, there was.
I thought he played really. Obviously, losing Tommy matters, but
it matters. But
there's not one time in that game you said, "Well, that one hurt us."
I agree with you. No, he played well.
Thanks, Steve.
He played. I agree with Bill.
I agree.
McCaw is still in a tree, by the way.
He's over there. He's not coming down anytime soon either.
No. That now they got to deal with that stuff. It happens, though. It happens all over America. Guys go down. I mean, that's just deal with it.
Nebraska's still probably in the top 10% of injuries.
Yeah.
They really are. I watched
in terms of not suffering.
Not having them. I'm watching the USC game. There's guys going down for them. They lost like four guys in four plays.
Yeah.
It was incredible number of people that went down. So Nebraska's not in a bad spot.
Not right now.
There was a critical moment, and there's several moments, but there's a critical moment late in the fourth quarter.
Okay.
The game is tied 24 all.
Okay.
Nebraska on third and three takes a shot to the end zone to Liebentritt. Right?
No, to Lindenmeyer.
Lindenmeyer.
Yeah, Luke Lindenmeyer.
Which, again, he was open. The play was there. Overthrew it by about a yard or so, maybe two possibly.
Yeah.
He's open.
He was wide open.
You're in a position now where Nebraska has their backup kicker in, John Hull, who did make a short field goal in the game. He made a 21-yard kick, made his extra points, to be fair. 39-yard kick, it's fourth and three. He pulls it left. Mm-hmm. In that situation, Sip, you're in the press box watching. Mm-hmm. Did you think Nebraska should have gone for it on 4th-and-3 or kicked that field goal?
Well, there's two different scenarios there. Me and Bill talked about this yesterday. On 3rd-and-3, there's a big decision there. You can just decide, we're going to run. We're going to run, and we're going to take 2 plays to get 3 yards. Now, in this case, there was a pass play called, and that wasn't the first option, Lindenmeyer. I guess fullback in the flat was like the first progression. But Lindenmeyer popped open, and now it's 4th-and-3. And I'm all for, at that point, kicking.
Okay.
And then the defense held. You would have been in good shape.
Went to OT.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I told CFC, I thought it was smart to kick that. And the score's tied. And I would kick that ball almost every time. Mm-hmm. The only thing you would look back on and say, okay, the odds of Illinois stopping Nebraska on 2 run plays on 3rd-and-3, it would probably went 3rd-and-3, 4th-and-inches or some fourth, whatever.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all have our self-care non-negotiables. For some people, it's getting enough sleep, eating a fulfilling breakfast, or never skipping leg day. However, a non-negotiable we should all consider is never skipping therapy day. When your schedule is packed with kids' activities, big work projects, and more, it's easy to let your priorities slip. But when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. It's helpful to learn positive coping skills and how to set boundaries to empower you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earlybreak today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earlybreak.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But you have to make a decision. Then if you do get that first down, you're going to kick the field goal with no time on the clock.
Yeah. Now, Jake, that would have won the game.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have tied it. The field goal would have put Nebraska ahead 27.
I'm just saying that Illinois went to overtime with that. Yeah. Yeah, when the field goal was missed. They pushed a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, they pushed it down the field.
They pushed it down the field.
Then Nebraska got stopped.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to the...
About the 50, maybe? Close to that?
It was 3rd-and-8 at the 48 of Nebraska. Yeah. And Jamari got heat on Altmyer and incomplete pass. Yeah. They made Nebraska's defense, I mean, for all the criticism it's taking, did get a stop there. I mean, they got Cam Linhart ran down their running back, short gain. Sherman chased down Altmyer for a short gain. And then they got heat on Altmyer. And so, I mean, what I'm saying is if you make that field goal, you might win the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the killer. That would have put them ahead 27-24. And then you know, maybe they get a stop. Of course, they do have 2 kickers that can hit 50 yards. Right. Yeah. So maybe.
And obviously the pressure was huge because they had someone wide open on the scramble. Illinois did. They showed the replay. I didn't see it on the film, but they showed the replay. They did a little pivot move. Not like pivot.
What down?
On the 3rd-and-8.
On the 3rd-and-8.
It was like a scramble drill. Uh-huh. A scramble drill, and they had someone on his side of the ball that was wide open. That they would have gave him a chance if he could have seen him. But that happens all the time where pressure overrules that. Yeah, Trust me. You see it all the time. Like, oh, wow, that dude was open. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Well, I'll tell you one thing you saw a lot on Friday night was guys running open. You did see that. Illinois receivers running open. I mean, too often. So, I mean, Nebraska's defense really didn't do a good job against the run. Not a great job. And they didn't cover very well. And that's, everybody's a little perplexed. Like, I'm sure, Jake, are you perplexed?
I mean, Illinois had 381 yards of offense in that game.
Yeah, which isn't awful, but...
And they were 7 of 13 on third down. I mean, Nebraska couldn't get them off the field.
Yeah, and what were they on fourth down?
On fourth down, they were two for three.
Two for three. Okay, yeah. I mean, they conversions. Too many conversions.
And we haven't mentioned this. I mean, 4 for 4 in the red zone. And some of those plays in the red zone were wide open. Mm-hmm. Barry Lunney, give credit to Lunney, the OC, on some of those play calls. I mean, he was creative, but is it three times they had wide open dudes in the end zone?
Yeah, two or three for sure. And then the overtime one was great play, apparently a great play call, because there's nobody within 5 yards of Pat Bryant.
No, it wasn't.
I mean, I said four, but he was wide open. Well, their best, it's either Zachary Franklin or Pat Bryant for
they're both good
best player of the year awards for Illinois. And I think it's Bryant, but you could make an argument for Franklin. Franklin was an incredible receiver at UTSA. I mean, he had 15 touchdown catches one season.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 1,500 yards and 15 touchdown catches. Then he went to Ole Miss and fizzled out. Then that's why he's at Illinois.
But very intriguing also with the, you don't see many 350-pound tight ends catch a touchdown.
That guy's huge.
Yeah, shook free.
Yeah, so obviously an offensive Henderson. Tackle that's wearing a tight end number.
Yeah.
Is what he was. But that was
94.
Remarkable play. I believe it was off of unbalanced, but I may be wrong on that. But
it was a remarkable play. They coached really well. Illinois had them. I mean, they were ready. It seemed like they were ready with good plays when they needed them.
Big guy caught the ball and tucked it.
Mm.
Caught it, tucked it into the end zone.
That was a fourth down.
Was that fourth down?
That was fourth down play call.
Was it? Yeah, I think
it was. That was a fourth and two. Fourth and two, and they called that and they threw to the big man, and he caught the 100% fourth and two in that play, and they went for it again, 100%.
And then overtime happened, and I thought overtime, you get this grand reset, you know?
Well, they win the toss.
Yeah.
They win the toss, which obviously is what you want to have happen. You win the toss, and I read something today, well, we shouldn't have put the defense out there first. They just were just out there. I'm like, there's a solid 10 minutes. There's 10 minutes plus, but it takes forever to start the overtime. It does. It takes forever.
It's
a long time. Plus, you would never, ever, ever go on offense first.
No.
Ever.
You don't do that.
No. You go defense first.
Matt Rhule addressed in postgame here with the pulse of the team going into overtime.
Yeah, what did he say about this?
Here's Matt Rhule from Friday night.
Dylan was like, hey, we were going to take a shot the first play, and then we false started. So kind of just, we false started and then, took a sack. And then, even on the last one, we missed a blitz pick. We missed a protection. We had an MA. So, the moment showed up and we didn't make the plays you have to make to win those games. Even the ball that, they called a touchdown that was ended up being an interception. We had a lot of opportunities to win the game. And so, we're not a bad football team. It's a good football team. It's a ranked team. And we had all of our chances. We had the chances we had to win. So there's some things we have to correct. And, getting those moments, we have to kind of go make those plays. I thought Sack called an excellent game. We had lots of chances. And I think defensively, we have to go back and kind of look and see, hey, are we doing the right things?
So in the overtime, what happened was a collapse. I mean, Nebraska hasn't won an overtime game since 2014. They lost their last eight.
And they have not scored a point in any of the eight overtimes.
It might be one of the most remarkable stats in the history of college football.
You start at the 25. It really is. You start at the opponent's 25. You could kick a field goal on first down if you want to.
They haven't scored. So in Nebraska's case, they got the ball second, obviously. False start on the left tackle. Okay, so you're behind the eight ball a little bit right there. Now you're really behind the eight ball because on the second play, Alec Bryant stunted. I think it was a stunt, right? He came up the middle
I believe it was. I can't remember exactly. I really don't.
Anyway, it was a 9-yard sack.
Yeah.
9-yard sack. So now it's
second, 25 or whatever.
Yeah, second 24. Yeah. Second 24.
And then it got worse.
Yeah, then Dylan scrambled, threw incomplete, and called for intentional grounding. So now you're third and 42. It's over. I mean, it's third and 42. What are you doing?
On the other side of the 50.
Yeah.
Jake, but you started at the 25.
Jake sent a text. We need to start a new podcast. Third and 42.
I think it'd be a hit. No, I think it'd be a hit. Third and 42.
No, not third and 42. Yeah, third and 42. So that's it. I mean, Illinois came out of the gate, as you guys mentioned, with the long run. Feagan ran for 21 yards to the four, and then 13. Pat Bryant popped open.
Can you describe me and Bill at this point? I had left the game by this time, by overtime. I was gone.
Had you made it home?
Oh, Jake? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Jake left at halftime.
I left at halftime.
Okay.
Okay. So let me ask you this, Sip. You were at the stadium. In this, we can tell on TV a little bit, but what was the sound in the stadium the moment that big run got popped off in overtime?
I can't. Here's what I would tell you, Jake. I was sort of taken aback by how unsurprised people were by everything. By how it's almost, there was this feeling of doom when they went into overtime, which is really, I mean, it's concerning. I'd be concerned if I were the head coach. My thought was, oh my God, they got a shot here. I mean, they didn't play that well, but they got a great shot just to win the game and say, all right, we got out of here. And then they just folded up. Now, they would take issue with Sipple saying they folded up, but you're 3rd and 42 on your with the ball, and without the ball, you gave it two plays and a score. That's folding up. I mean, I don't, Bill, you're a coach. You could say, no, Sipple, you're an idiot, and you never played football. That's just a terrible performance in OT. It's terrible.
there's no pushback on that. I mean, like you said,
terrible. It was awful. I've told Bill, I've told you, Jake, I've gone to games. I've only missed one home or away game in 27 years.
Where were you that day?
And I forgot. Minnesota. I've forgotten. Yeah, I had a personal deal. And I forgot. There's places I can't even remember being, Bill. There's literally games I don't remember being at. But I'll never forget that overtime because how stunned I was by it. I'll always remember the Friday night Illinois game overtime. I always remember, because I was freaked out. Like, this is all you got.
You could say that for all
80s. What was the talk in the press box? So everyone's talking, right? You all said, go
to
overtime.
No, there's not much talk. Here's the deal, Bill. A lot of guys
I want to paint a picture up there.
Yeah, I'll paint a picture. A lot of guys go down on a field because you got to get to rule in the press conference afterward. I don't, because my thing is I got to get done real fast, and there's monitors up there that show you that you can hear the press conference. I just do a veteran move. I just stay up there and type the quotes in. Ben, you should be listening right now because
he's writing nothing down. He's barely awake. I have no idea.
No, Steve's listening.
It's a great deal because Steve's like, I mean, seriously, I'm not asking him questions. So why would I not watch the game from up here? Then
I don't have time. Yeah. So I listen to it and get the quotes, and it makes sense. But
he still
anyway,
didn't write anything down. He still didn't.
It's nothing. Okay, Ben. It's okay. So there wasn't much talk in the, because there's not that many guys up there. There's only probably six guys sitting up there, and they're all kind of scattered. So I don't know what people were saying.
Gotcha.
I don't.
I was just wondering what was being said. Like, what's the conversation? Like, okay, we're going to overtime. What are you saying?
God.
Who's next to you? If you're talking to Mitch Sherman or Babcock.
The voices in my head were loud, and they were saying, look, they get a reset here. A chance to atone for all
the advantages.
Yeah,
I mean, everyone would say in college football, if you're talking to anybody, if you had like the everyone talking from Fox Big Noon and say, what do you want? Okay, I want to be at home and I want to play defense first.
Yeah, you got a great situation.
So the situations hit for you.
Oh, yeah.
They hit.
Yeah, they did. You got a huge crowd. You're at home. And bam, Fegan whips around left side. Nobody's there.
There was a chance to exercise three or four demons in this game.
Mm-hmm.
You could, number one, beat a ranked team for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah. I think it's 25 straight losses or something.
And Illinois is beatable. Yeah. A good team, but beatable. You could have proved you could win a close game.
Yeah.
Even with the field goal, you know, if Hull makes the field goal.
One score game, yes.
In the fourth quarter. No guarantee that wins you the game, but a chance. You're up by
100,
three.
100.
You could have scored a point in overtime.
Right. But in that streak.
You know, it's one thing to lose. You haven't scored a point in eight straight OTs. As Bill said, that is unbelievable.
Since Tommy Armstrong hit Kenny Bell
in
the corner of the end zone in 2014.
Which led to Bo getting fired.
The next 2 days later or a day later, Bo got fired. Right. Was it a day later or 2 days later? It might have been 2 days.
I think it was 2 days.
Yeah. Maybe. And that was it. That's the last time they've won in overtime.
And scored a point. It's not just one.
There's no way if you take everyone's last eight overtimes and just say, okay, let's look at everybody. Let's take Utah State.
I just don't think you could find it.
Let's take Navy, whoever it is. I don't think you
it could be a 30 for 30. Nebraska's inability to even score points in overtime.
It would be sort of interesting to look back and see what those possessions look like. I've seen them all. I can't remember.
Last year was Wisconsin, right? That was a late overtime game, correct?
That wasn't good either.
That was bad. In Camp Randall.
Yeah.
I was there. It was bad.
I don't think Nebraska got particularly close.
They didn't get close. They didn't.
No.
I think about Michigan State 3 years ago after the punt return touchdown. I think they got a first down at least that overtime, and then they threw a pick. promptly after that.
That's right.
And you go back, all the way back to Miami 2015, which kind of started off this problem, was that Nebraska was down 23 points in the fourth quarter, rallied back to force OT, and the very first play in OT threw a pick in the end zone, lost the game. And it, since then, it's been a variety of how in the hell is that even possible to do that in a football game, starting at the 25-yard line of the opponent.
You were up above on the long run in overtime. What happened?
I think an end must have got sucked in, and then there was nobody there. There was one, you know, defensive back had to chase him down. I think they caught him off guard with something. That was my perception.
I've not seen the coach copy or from, you know, from
no,
that.
No, I haven't seen the film
of,
either.
Or from that wide. You were up top. There was no edge of the defense, obviously.
There had to be some sort of breakdown for him, because it was wide open field. It was wide open field. Yeah. That's what you saw from above. Like, whoa, there's nobody there. And he's not that fast. Fast guy would have got in, I think.
I think he would have, too.
Yeah. Now, Fegan's not a bad back.
No, he's not a bad back. No, some you go, okay, that guy's not even good. No, he's not bad.
He's 6'3", 250. Yeah.
But they didn't do some sort of trick or ratio. It was a run left, and Nebraska didn't touch him for 19 yards.
Right. No, you're right.
There's no excuse for that on a run play.
No, there's not. No, it reminded me of Iowa last year when they got the pick, the first run popped. And I'm like, whoa, come on. How do you let that happen? Now, again, I know what happens. I know it does, but
so Nebraska.
That's why you lose, though. I mean, it's why you lose.
There was some interesting, like you said, because I said something a while back. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I said the guy you don't have to worry about is Buscini,
right?
Because he's punting well. He punted a 50-yard clip, but there was 60 yards in punt returns.
Yeah,
and so the net for Nebraska ended up being 30. That's a lot of hidden yards when you have return yards yourself.
Oh God!
And you have, because that was a touchdown. He caught the ball. I think Nebraska jumped off sides on the punt team, and they punt it, and he brings it back 40 yards, and that sets him up.
And Buscini made the tackle.
In great shape. If Buscini doesn't make it,
he's gone.
I don't know if he's gone, but he's going to get a lot more. I don't know if he's gone, but it's going to be a lot more if Buscini doesn't make the tackle.
These are hard conversations, because around here what I hear is, Sip, don't be so hard on him. Yeah, Nebraska's not returning punts, but people don't return punts in college football anymore. That's just BS. I mean, it's just flat BS.
They had 3 for 60 yards, 20
yards.
They had
60 yards in punt returns. Yeah. Illinois did. So, apparently somebody's returning them. There's Farley. Nebraska's done better this year in punt returns. I think they got 40 yards.
Mostly that UTEP game.
Yeah. So they've done better. They're advancing the ball, and they're trying to, so that's good. But in one game, Illinois got 60. I mean, that's now Buscini's punts. He did hit him far. He hit him a little low.
Yeah,
outkicked his coverage a couple
times. That is a negative. That can be a negative if you
He boomed him. There should have been better coverage.
Yeah. Nebraska falls 31-24 in OT. They play up next Purdue on the road. Purdue lost 38-21 at Oregon State. Line opened up at Nebraska, 9-point favorite at Purdue.
Just like Illinois.
Yeah,
okay. A 9-point favorite.
Now I'm going to
Nebraska will win. Could win by 50.
There. Now hold on. This is where Sipple gets really annoying. I'm going to get really annoying on you guys now. You got to check me on this all week. When I hear that, I get irrationally upset. Oh, it's just Purdue. Okay, so we're really doing this again. It's just Purdue.
I'm not doing that.
No, I don't know if they'll win again. I mean, I'm not. I'll probably predict a close Nebraska win, but I don't. Why do we fall in this trap of it's just Purdue?
It's just Nebraska.
Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. It's just Nebraska.
Look at the numbers. They threw for 50 yards against Oregon State.
Yeah, I know.
They got smashed by Oregon State on the road. And Notre Dame, who got beat by Northern Illinois. And then the next
game. Northern Illinois lose to Buffalo.
And then the next game, Notre Dame scores 66.
Right. I get where you're coming from. And then you turn around
and Notre Dame struggled again a little bit the next week.
Right.
And so I just look at those numbers hard. I think 9 points is a ridiculous number.
Wow. I don't know.
Be nice to take it out of their own heads.
I just wondered if Hudson Card is hurt. Because I don't know how to throw for 50 yards in a game when you're a throwing team.
Right.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
and they threw for 50 yards.
Well, I'll believe a route when I see it. That's what I would say. I'm not going to pick one.
I won't either.
But yeah. Anyway, they but you have to admit they caught an extremely favorable opponent. They're potentially the worst team in the Power Fours.
They are potentially. They're definitely. Wouldn't you say they're the worst team in the Big Ten?
Yes, they're 18th. Yeah, yeah. They're the worst team in the Big Ten.
Who would be close to them?
In the Big Ten,
think
there's no one close to them. I don't know who's even close to them in the Power Four because Vanderbilt would beat them.
Vandy's pretty good.
He almost beat Missouri.
Yeah, Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's always the one you looked at. And said, oh, they're not very good.
No.
There's no one in the
Power Four.
The Big 12. Every team is significantly better.
Yeah.
So, Hudson Card 7 for 17, 56 yards passing. They did run for 263 yards.
Well, there you go. There you go.
8.8 yards a carry.
What's Nebraska not doing?
Not stopping the run recently.
Steve is right. It's crazy stuff happens in games. We just go, how did that happen? How does a team rally up and all of a sudden play? And then obviously it's a weird game. 11 a.m. Peacock.
Right.
The place.
Peacock.
The place will
the
be.
The P. Just say the P.
Just say the P.
Not the
we all know.
But, yeah.
Not saying the other word.
Before, yeah.
The P.
Before we get to break, I know Sip is famished right now. You get the coffee, but you look hungry. I mean, and young Ben went there yesterday, but he went to Early Bird.
Ben went to the bird.
He was hungry for breakfast.
It was exciting.
He was excited.
It was.
Yeah, he went there.
They had a table of food. Ben described, so hash holes can fill you up. Ben had hash holes, then a giant chicken fried steak, which is what, Jake?
Smothered.
Oh, we're flipping this one now. We're gonna flip that one.
That was good, Jake.
Yeah, that's way
that
better.
That was good.
Jake, what is
that
it?
That was a strangely good.
Smothered.
Breakfast burritos.
He kind of shook his head when he said it to you. Smothered.
Sound like you're from San Diego on
blueberry
that.
Blueberry. Yeah. Hey,
Ben had the cinnamon.
Changed my toenail with it. Blueberry pancakes.
And of course, the world famous hash holes. Hash hole.
Hash hole.
Sorry to wake you, Steve.
It's smoking. Don't do it.
Check it out, 19th and we will be there next Tuesday. By the way, please make plans next Tuesday. Bill, join
better
us
be there
from
early.
6 to 8 for early break live from the early bird. The bird meets the break.
Get a T-shirt.
Jake is in rare form today.
Yeah,
Smother.
I'm going to change that tone because I'm not doing that one. I'm going to change that one up. Early bird, 19th When we come back, time for head scratchers.
Head scratchers
on early break on the ticket.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.